Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Thin Line Believers Podcast. Steve here with you today, and today we're going to be tackling a topic that I really wish we didn't have to tackle. It is a gut-wrenching and heartbreaking one that I wasn't even really aware was as serious as it is. And so I'm hoping that we can bring some knowledge and some resources and some things to you folks this week. This week I am joined by Sarah Hyatt, who is the CFO of an organization called Shadows Behind the Badge. Shadows Behind the Badge is an organization who brings awareness and resources to folks dealing with suicide and PTSD amongst our community, the Thin Line community, being police, fire, dispatchers, veterans, both active and retired duty. So thank you, Sarah, so much for taking the time today. I appreciate it. And with that, Sarah Hyatt.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having us on the show and raising awareness.
So we haven't talked before, probably about 10 minutes ago, just kind of getting to know each other a little bit and your story and how you came to Shadows Behind the Badge and kind of your goal and your drive for this. So I was wondering if you could share a little bit first about Shadows Behind the Badge with the folks tuning in, and then maybe a little bit about yourself.
Sure, definitely. Shadows Behind the Badge, our founder is Jessica Lamb. She's amazing. She had this She went through PTSD herself, and she started this organization last year, and this year it's just kind of really got up and going and running. And so everyone part of Shadows Behind the Badge is either has been a first responder or in military or the spouse of one. So we all kind of have the same passion and have experienced this. So it's just so much deeper for us to do the things that we're doing and offering the services. Shadows Behind the Badge, like you said, it's for first responders and military, either currently, you know, military or vets who have experienced PTSD, depression. We just want to provide all those services that we can possibly think of, and it changed, like, we're constantly thinking of new things we can do to help. We try different techniques than the norm. We do service dogs. We partner with another nonprofit called Jacobs Canine Vetiquette, which is out of Louisiana. We're just now partnering with another, like, horse rescue to try to do horse therapy, like animal therapy. That's been, studies show that that's actually really great for people who have suffered from PTSD as well. Mm-hmm. We recently found out there's a place that does, like, scuba diving lessons, and they are wanting to start up something as well that is similar to help with the therapy for the first responders and military. We're partnering with a local police department. I'm located in St. Louis, Missouri, Jessica's in Texas. So, but we partner with people all over the United States because we don't just want to touch where we're at. We want to touch everywhere. And so we're starting to partner up with, like, the local police department and just provide services. Like, I'll be this month and next month going and speaking, like, their annual wellness class and just explaining, like, what PTSD is and the signs that they can look for with, like, the officers themselves, and try to just let them know that they're not alone, because that's one of the biggest things is they have these symptoms and they know, but they think they're the only ones just going through it. And so that's one of them. I've been reaching out to police academies because before, you know, our officers even hit the ground running, I feel like they should be aware of what might come, and their families need to know. So there's a local police academy that has responded and is letting me provide resources to give to the new police officers and their families on family night. It's overwhelming, everything that we want to do and that we have plans to do, and just to be able to help people, because we've all experienced this firsthand, and we just want to make sure everyone else knows of the resources as well.
Yeah, for sure. And you guys provide actual counseling.
Yes.
from what I'm understanding as well, correct?
Yes, we do have a counselor who has partnered with us. He's amazing. That's all I can. I could talk about him all day. He's great. He is a former police officer who actually went through PTSD. If you go to our website, shadowsbehindthebadge.org, about us, he's also on there. His name is Craig Poley. He's been there. He knows. So I think it's easier for other first responders to be able to open up to someone who knows what they're going through because he's been there and he knows what it feels like.
Yeah.
So he's one of our resources. Really, I can't say enough good things about Craig, and I'm happy that he partnered with us.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, you know, I mean, as a first responder myself, I know a lot of us are type A, stubborn. We don't think we need any help. We don't like to talk about our feelings. All of those stereotypes that come into play, you know, when it comes to first responder and veterans. But I know I've shared with the people who tune in here, just that I myself have gone through those trials and have gone to a counselor and have gotten help. And just like you guys are trying to put the word out, you know, getting that help early on. And like you were saying with the academy, you know, visiting them early on and getting them the resources before it's already happening, you know, to work through those things before they overflow, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I'm especially passionate about the spouse and the family members being aware of what to look for. So that family night that he offered to, you know, pass out, it just was, that really was great to me because as a spouse of my husband is a Marine and a police officer. So as the spouse, you're going to be the first one to see those symptoms and signs. And when things are starting to change. So just letting like family members know what to look for if they start to see the behavior difference. My husband and I both have, you know, been to multiple counseling sessions since he's had PTSD, and most marriages don't work. If you look at statistics, like first responder marriages, a lot of them fail. And I really believe it's because of something that, you know, the first responder is going through and they're just not getting the treatment and help that they need. And that's where it ends.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you marry one person and, you know, they go through their career, and if they don't get that help to maintain, they become a completely different person. I can tell you, I did at one point, you know, you know, I mean, it's like you look in the mirror one day and you don't recognize the person you're looking at. If you let it get to you like that.
And that's true. Like I've spoke to so many spouses, and I started a spouse support group because it's something that we go through ourselves as well. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different battle, I feel like. And I just want the awareness to be there and for them to know that they're not alone as well, because sometimes we have to fight for ourselves and for our spouse because they can't fight for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so just to be that support and say, you know, you're doing great. You're doing the best that you can, and you're not alone.
Yeah.
Is one of the biggest things that we can offer people. I feel like is just that was probably the hardest thing for me to go through. Is I always tell everyone that my husband had three things going against him. I told his doctor this too. He's a man, he's a Marine, and he's a police officer. Like those are all going against him to be the most stubborn person ever, and. So it's funny, but it's not, because it really does put a hardship, because, you know, you don't know what's wrong with you, and you're used to being the person who fixes everything, but you can't fix yourself at this point. So you just have to have the support and knowing other people are involved. And for over a year, we didn't even talk about it to anybody because, you know, the shame is there. And of course, I respect my husband, and whenever, if he doesn't want to talk about it to other people, then we're not going to tell anybody else. I love him, and so I respect his wishes. But now we're to the point where he's healed and he's gone through this process, and we can share, and hopefully by us sharing our stories, that we can help others as well.
Yeah, for sure. So I mentioned earlier kind of how how I got here, and I got hooked up with Sarah for this interview. But thinking back on looking through the Facebook page and seeing those statistics come across the screen, the first one that I saw was the police, and I mean, obviously that hits me harder than the other ones. They all hit me hard. But,
right.
Looking at that and seeing the number that was 150 plus, and I thought, man, are we having that big of a year for line of duty deaths? I was thinking, man, that's a really bad year if we're here right now on line of duty deaths. And I scrolled down and I saw, the firefighter being, 100 plus. And I was thinking, that can't be possible. How are there 100 firefighters that have died in the line of duty? And then I scrolled down again and I saw the veteran, 5,500 plus.
Yes, over 5,500, 5,522 as of, and these numbers too are, these are only what we have confirmed for sure. There are so many more. So these are less than the actual number, but we go through a process of actually confirming that it's actually that. And that's another thing as well, is sometimes it doesn't get reported as a suicide. So that's hard to track. So, I mean, you look at these numbers and, I mean, every time I do it, I hurt. My heart hurts so bad. But to know that there's actually more than that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a punch in the gut when I saw that it was, no, it's not line of duty death. This is suicides.
Yeah.
This is not somebody at work who's dealing with something dangerous and ends up getting hurt and killed. This is somebody who has gotten to the point of their life that they are so, just so without answers of what is going on with them and in their life and just at the end there that they can't deal with it anymore, which is just heartbreaking.
It is. Before I actually went through this process myself, I always thought, how could somebody get to that point where, they just didn't have hope? But, I mean, it really is that severe. PTSD, we call it PTSI because I think it helps in the stigma of it being a disorder. So it's, an injury. We like to say that instead because it's less shameful, I guess, for some people, but it's a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. And that's why, I'm so passionate about it. And as soon as I had the chance to start helping others, and that, myself and my husband were healed, and I was like, that's what our passion is just helping others get through this.
Yeah. You've mentioned a couple times just about your direct, involvement in this process, right? I mean, going through it with your husband and walking through that and finding yourselves where you guys are now, it's one thing for some of us to get on these podcasts and speak at people. But when we can get people on here who have walked through it and have that empathy because of where they've been themselves, it does a lot for at least some of the first responders that I've talked to directly here around us and who have responded to the podcast. I was wondering if you could just take a little bit of time and talk about your story with that, if you're willing to do that.
Yeah, sure. My husband, he says now, he's able to tell you that he's had these feelings and signs for years, but around the end of 2017, beginning of 2018 is when it hit him full force. And I mean, there was probably 10 months he couldn't even get off the couch. If you know my husband, he was that go, 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 go person. He's always working. He's very hard worker. And he just, he changed. Something changed one day. And it seemed like, and it was a fight. So I just was like, can you please go get help? I started noticing the changes and, it wasn't the person that I knew. And so I asked him to please, please go get help. And so he did. He's like, I'll do it just for you, but he wasn't going to do it for himself. And he did. And so that's when we found out the diagnosis of PTSD, and we really weren't sure what to think of that. And then, trying to research it and find out what is this that we're dealing with? And it was a struggle. You know, he was seeing a counselor, and that was helping, but it's still such a long process because it's just hard, and we were doing it alone because we didn't want to tell anybody else.
Right. I mean, this probably came from his military, and then as well as his kind of stacked on top his police experience.
Yeah, it's like a cumulative. You go through all of this stuff all these years, you see the worst of the worst. I mean, first responders, I have the utmost respect for, because you guys are literally going out there every day and you're seeing the worst of the worst. Mm-hmm. And then you're expected to go home and act like it didn't happen or you didn't see it. And you can never get rid of those thoughts. They're all, or, you know, those visions, it's always there. And so it was a long, hard process. I actually saw a post as well on Facebook from Shadows Behind the Badge earlier this year. And when I saw that post, I realized at that moment, something just clicked, like, we're not alone. Like, there's other people going through this. And at that point, I had reached out, and, you know, it was Jessica. I didn't know who I was even messaging. I was just messaging someone and just saying, how can I help? What can I do? Because, you know, I thought we were alone, and we're not alone, so I don't want anyone else to feel alone. And from there, we've had so much healing helping others. I always tell everyone that God carried us through this. If it wasn't for that, I don't know what would have happened, just because I'm also one of those fixers. My husband and I both, you know, we want to fix everything. And when this started happening last year, I was just like, you know what, this is something that I cannot do or fix. And God, I'm completely surrendering to you. Like, I know that you're going to take care of us, and you're going to do this. And that's probably the first time that I really ever did something that big in my life where I just handed it over because I knew it was something out of my control.
Yeah.
And
how was your walk before, and in walk, I mean, walk with Christ, walk with your relationship before all of this?
So I became a Christian probably 15 years ago and was baptized and everything in my early 20s. And I would say that I was going to church, and that's about it. I pray every day, but I know now that my faith wasn't completely there because I didn't trust that I was going to be provided for. That's why I had that struggle of always trying to fix things. So when I actually surrendered that, it was life-changing, because now I look back and I'm like, wow. I fought all these other battles my whole life that I didn't need to. Like, I should have just surrendered. And my husband actually had not gone to church since he was a child. He had refused to really go to church. He just had bad experiences, and he wasn't going to do it. And so during this time, actually Easter of this year, I was like, hey, it's Easter, would you go to church with me? And he did. And at that point, he's like, oh, that wasn't bad, I'll go Sunday with you. And so Sunday came around, and he's like, oh, gosh, I actually thought I was going to go with you, didn't I? And I was like, yes, you did. And so he went. And, you know, after that service, he was like, well, that wasn't bad, I'll come again next week. And it literally, that's how it started out, was he would make that commitment, and then Sunday roll around, he's like, oh, I made that commitment. And so a couple months ago, he actually, you know, gave his life to God. So he's, you know, 50 years of life, and he's this whole horrible process. I feel like we were being attacked, and the devil was trying to attack us, and it totally backfired. Like, it made my walk so much stronger, and it made my husband a believer. So it's just, if anything great could have came out of this situation, like, it did for us. It totally did for us.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that's you know, it's incredible how at times of when you're going through these things, just how the enemy just attacks and attacks and attacks. But like you said, the Lord was reeling you in just slowly and slowly, and bringing your husband in slowly, and then before long it hit him. So that's, I mean, that's a great part of your guys' story, you know, to to hear how the Lord worked in helping that healing process as well.
Yes.
So I was wondering if you could share just some of the things that you saw change. I think from your perspective, being the wife of the first responder, just any like behavioral changes or those kinds of things that are pretty typical, so that I know we have some spouses and some family that tune in as well, just so that maybe if they see these, you know, it can be a cue for maybe at least talking to their spouse or their loved one.
Yeah, that's great, because I really think that noticing those signs and symptoms is key for everyone. And that is what I tell people constantly. Like, you just, if you see this, talk to them. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's like, I always say, it's okay not to be okay. So a lot of it, my husband, I'll tell you some of his symptoms, and I've heard this from other people as well. But this is what I noticed. He went from being working constantly. I mean, you know, most police officers work overtime, and then they work a secondary job, and sometimes they may work 3 or 4 jobs. I don't think I really know any officers that don't work more than one job sometimes. And so he went from being this overworker to not even being able to get up and go into work. He would get up and get dressed most mornings, but he could not physically force himself to walk out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the big things, because he does not like lazy. And so to him, he was feeling so down on himself, thinking lazy, but it wasn't. It was just he physically was going through something and mentally going through something. Going out in public, it got really difficult. We really couldn't do it anymore. It started out as, you know, I'm sure this is most first responders, they have to be facing the door to watch people come in. So that was one of them. For years, it always had been, if I tell you to go, like, you have to go, and there's no questions asked. So if we were somewhere and he says go, I had to get up and leave and not ask questions, because he knew something was going to happen, and he was going to protect me regardless. So that was one of them. But it got to the point where we weren't even going out to eat or going out to public places, because he couldn't handle it. He's avid fisherman, something he loves. He wasn't even fishing anymore. So he stopped doing the things that he loved and cared about. Like, there's irritability. I've talked to a few other people too, that, you know, I would ask a simple question and get a snappy response, and I had to learn over the process that he wasn't really mad at me, and not to take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
But that was that, and I think that was one of the biggest things I had to do, was never take this personal, because it was not me, and he was hurting, and that's where it was coming from. And I see that a lot now in people going through this, is, you know, they're hurting so bad, and then they just are irritable over things. Just concentrating, there's problems concentrating. I mean, the memory loss, that has been horrible. I didn't know that was part of PTSD, but it is. You could tell someone something today, and then tomorrow they're like, you didn't tell me that. And it's like, yeah, I did. But it's, now I know that that's part of PTSD. Sleeping and nightmares, that's something we still struggle with sometimes. You know, I'll have to wake them up out of a nightmare, but I've heard from a lot of first responders that the nightmares are awful. And I've seen it. And there's, I mean, how they feel about themselves is probably the hardest part for me to talk about, because they think so lowly of themselves. They have such negative thoughts because of what they're going through. And it's just like they become hopeless. Like, they see no future at all. And for me, that was hard, because I'm like, you don't, like, I started to take it personal a little bit. Like, you don't see a future with me, is what I was thinking. But he just couldn't see a future at all. And So when you see that, and it's heartbreaking when you see people going through it. And so now I constantly have to remind, like, people that I talk to that you will get through this. I promise you. Like, you can. If you're really wanting to get through this, you're going to, and you're going to do so much better. And you're going to feel so much stronger at the end because you know you defeated something so strong.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like you're saying, I mean, all those symptoms, I can look at myself and pick some of those out. I can look at some of, you know, my better friends at times in our career and say, oh, okay, that's what that was, you know. And unfortunately, we've lost probably some good officers, not lost to death, but lost to PTSD and their career kind of based on those things where I think the, you know, the administration and the departments and all that weren't real proactive with it for, you know, I mean, just the kind of that old school mentality of you suck it up and you drive on and
yep.
You know, you be a man and you just keep working.
Yep. That's exactly true. I mean, that's what you guys, I mean, and that's what sometimes you're told that, and sometimes it's just implied, but it is what it is. Like, it's, you know, part of the job, but it's not. Like, it should not be part of the job,
right,
to have to go through that and not fight. And that's one of the things that really bothers me, is that if police officers come forward now a lot of times and even mention it, they get put on light duty. Well, if they're the breadwinner of the family, they can't afford to go on light duty, because that means, you know, no overtime, no secondary, like, they can't do these things anymore. And they, you know, one, financially can't do it. Two, I mean, just being labeled that and being, you know, seeing that that's what's going on, it's a horrible thing. And so I know there are struggles and why a lot of officers or other first responders come forward with it, and they just try to deal with it on their own.
Yeah, they don't want to have that label on them.
No,
you know, and that's a pride thing, and we are a prideful bunch, unfortunately, in some cases.
Yeah, and I'm like, and that really, that makes you great at your job. I always say, like, you guys went into this because you wanted to help people. Like, I don't know of anyone who was like, didn't really have a positive reason for why they wanted to become first responder.
Yeah.
And by helping others, like, and seeing all these things, it's hurting you. And we need to be more aware of it, one, but we need to be giving resources to these people,
for sure.
so they can get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just toss them to the side is how, like, so I feel like a lot of people feel like they're just tossed to the side once this happens. And it should never be like that. Like, you guys are a family. First responders are a family. Military is a family. And it should always be like that. And when you're going through these hard times, it should get better for you, not worse.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned resources, and I think that's a perfect transition spot. You know, just to kind of hit on some of the resources that we have here locally. We have a lot of our listeners are around the Pacific Northwest, and we're kind of growing as we go. But, you know, as far as, you know, counseling, for one, there's, you know, the trauma team that we have here in town. We've got a whole bunch of support groups, chaplaincy service, as far as, you know, chaplains to be able to talk to and talk through stuff. You know, and then there are, you know, the national resources, you know, to seek out that help and those resources as well. What do you guys have in the St. Louis area? Do you guys have all of those for your guys there?
We do. And we also, like I was telling you earlier about Craig, our therapist, he will work with anyone wherever you are. Like, he'll do phone sessions with you. So we don't want that to limit someone if they can't, you know, if they don't want to use someone locally, or if they don't want to go through their department or their insurance, stuff like that. They want to keep it personal and, like, to themselves, private, then Craig is always available. So we offer that to everyone. He's here locally in St. Louis, but we offer him to everybody.
Okay.
therapy. We do service dog training for a lot of the military who are going through. So most first responders are military as well. So Jacob's Canine Vet, she's based out of Louisiana, but she actually, my husband is her first FaceTime. I don't even know what to call it. Like, we're client for her first okay. FaceTime client. So that's available. We are, our dog Sarge is being trained to be my husband's service dog. For, and I mean, he's so good. He's already triggering on anxiety and all of that. Like, he knows it before my husband even feels it coming on fully sometimes.
Wow.
But so we've done that training and that's offered. We have, you know, partnered with for animal therapy, but there are so many resources that people aren't aware of that yeah. if someone is in need right now and they need something, I like, please reach out to us, because if we need to, we will do whatever it takes to get you resources wherever you are mm-hmm. for help. Like, that's never a limitation ever anywhere. So that's all. I mean, I cannot say that enough. Please just reach out to us somehow and we will make it happen. We have a lady right now, who she's a veteran mother and she's homeless. She has a 7-year-old daughter and she's a single mom, and we're helping her. I mean, God kind of just placed her right in Jessica's lap one day, and not knowing what was going on, this woman has PTSD and she just showed up one day. And so, you know, we're helping her get placed in an apartment with everything that she's going to need. I mean, right now, any donations that come in from like now until Friday are going strictly to this woman and her child to help them.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, I mean, there are resources everywhere and we will help you.
Yeah. Well, you guys heard it. Get on Facebook and donate to that lady and her child to get them set up. I mean, that's if there is a cause out there that's worthy, get on there and donate a little bit of money and give them some help with that.
Yeah, and definitely anyone who needs help themselves. You know, we have a Facebook page. We have our website, that is behindthebadge.org. Reach out to us. If you are wanting help, needing help, if you're a spouse needing help, anything, just reach out to us. Or if you want to help, reach out to us. If you want to help others, like, that's always something I didn't realize. Helping others actually helps me heal, and helping others is helping my husband heal. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. So reach out to these folks. More importantly, if you or anybody you know is in crisis right now and you think they may be to the point where they are going to take their life, or if you are at that point in your life right now and you just feel like you can't do it anymore and you can't, you know, you can't manage what is going on with you, reach out to these resources. If you know somebody who is actively trying to kill himself, call 911, call the National Suicide Hotline, get them that help. That number is 1-800-273-8255. And if there's anything that me or Adam on our side of things can do for you folks, let us know. Reach out to Shadows Behind the Badge and Sarah and Jessica and their folks there if some of their resources could be beneficial for you. So with that, thank you, Sarah, so much for taking the time and for introducing us to Shadows Behind the Badge. We really appreciate that.
Thank you so much for having us and helping us spread awareness.
Yeah, for sure. All right, with that, we will talk to you guys next week. Have a blessed week. If you need anything, please reach out.